the ultimate, what is the ultimate goal of going to church? It's to believe in Jesus Christ and to go to heavenly kingdom. And for us to receive salvation and go to the king, go to heaven, what we absolutely need is faith. Only faith can save us. Only with faith, we can understand and feel that God is our Father and we are His children. Only with faith, we can communicate with God the Father, and we can receive the, hear the voice and receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Only with faith we can be healed and we can be loved by God. The amazing, extraordinary things written in the Bible, they were manifested through faith, through the faith of those patriarchs or fathers of faith. Moses believed in God and crossed the Red Sea like it was dry ground. And when Joshua and the people stepped into Jordan, it stopped flowing. The centurion received the answer right away when he came before Jesus with faith. And the woman with bleeding, she had the faith that she could be healed just by touching the robe, the edge of Jesus' robe. And so she was healed. And these are not just some stories in the Bible. They are happening in today's world as well. However, not everybody who says who believes, says they believe, experience this kind of work. Why is it that? Why don't they receive the answers? Why do they still have problems? Even though they say they pray with faith, why don't they receive the answers? Even though they pray, God is almighty. So if you ask with faith, God promised that He would give to us. And His promise is faithful. So what is the problem? The problem is, problem lies with us, with our faith. We have to check whether our faith can be really recognized by God. We might think we have faith, but maybe, perhaps, probably, it is not the kind of faith that God really considers faith. So let us realize what we lack through the message today and fill it up. Of course, we can't increase our faith overnight, but we can realize our shortcomings and turn from our heart and keep on acting the Word of God, then we will receive the answer. In the Friday Olay service, in the Manmin magazine video, you watched the testimony of a Chinese parish member. He came to see well. He was healed in the Manmin summer retreat. And even before that, he didn't really have true faith. His religious life, it was not really proper. He admitted he wasn't really a devout Christian. But when he had a problem in his eye, and the doctor suggested a surgery, and he was worried that the surgery couldn't guarantee complete recovery, and he might even lose his sight in the surgery. So he was reminded of the power of the shepherd. Even though he wasn't really a devout Christian, he saw and heard a lot about the power manifested through the shepherd. So this is the at least faith as knowledge. The title of today's message is Fleshly Faith and Spiritual Faith. So even though you don't hear the conclusion, you know very well you have to have spiritual faith. And knowledge is faith, is fleshly faith, and with that faith you cannot receive the answer. But at first, you have to have faith as knowledge. So this believer in Chinese parish, he didn't really have proper spiritual faith, but attending the Sunday morning service, he had the faith as knowledge. And so with his own faith, he couldn't receive the answer, but he relied on the power of the shepherd. So he, by the suggestion of his wife, he came to Manmin summer retreat. And so he had some conscience, you know, he was a good man. He knew he wasn't really a good devout Christian, so he had doubt that maybe he couldn't be healed. Because he listened to the words of God, messages, the sermons. So actually he only had fleshly faith. So he had doubts. But also his wife tried to please God. She gave to God the tithes that they didn't give for the past 3 years. And so they had faith and they got this, they went to the summer retreat. So you have to do something to please God. Of course, the summer retreat starts from tomorrow. Maybe if you have a wall of sin, you have to repent thoroughly. And also going to the summer retreat itself pleases God. Suppose you have a big party. And suppose somebody has a wedding. And if you don't go there in person and just send some money and say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't be there. Maybe if you're far away from it, far distance, you're not so close to each other, then maybe it's okay. But if you are close with each other, and yet if you don't go, will the other person be pleased? Suppose your family, your mother is having 70th birthday, and you say, oh, I'm so busy, I can't go there. You know, I love you. I prepared this gift for you. Just please accept it. Will your mother be so happy? Of course not. You have to go there to be with her and give her the gift in person so that she'll be happy. So you don't go to some retreat looking at the speaker. You go there because of God. You want to receive the blessing of God. It is a banquet, heavenly banquet, given to you, and probably you will go there with a desire to give your time to God. So if God is pleased, he can solve your problem. Suppose you have a problem that you need to solve and you say to God, oh, I don't have time and I'll just watch it live because the GCN TV will broadcast it live. So this is not pleasing in the sight of God. So you have to do what you have to do. Suppose you really want to go there, but there was just no way you could get a leave or vacation from your workplace. And so you had to. You tried all the means possible, but you couldn't get it. So that is why if you're watching GCN TV, then maybe it's okay. But if you can go there in person and yet just watch it, it is not pleasing in the sight of God. So anyway, going back to the testimony, this believer in Chinese parish, he had a desire to be healed when he was going to the summer retreat, and he had doubts. He still had doubts, but he still believed the power of God anyway, power of the shepherd anyway. And on the first day, he was healed. And for the past 2 years, he's leading a good Christian life, good religious life. So he's receiving financial blessings too. So his son also became a believer, accepted the Lord. And so the whole family is now a good Christian family. And so I can't delve into specific deeds that you have to do when I talk about fleshly faith and spiritual faith. But anyway, I hope you will realize what you have to do to please God so that you'll be healed and receive the answers in the summer retreat. The first night is the message, and we will play the prayer for the sake of the senior pastor, and I will also pray with the handkerchief. And those of men of Holy Spirit, those of the Holy Spirit, they will also pray with the together for those who have some serious illnesses or problems. You already registered, so you'll have the name tags. So because there are, you know, when the senior pastor was having a special healing sessions, you have the registration number, so you can, you went before the senior pastor according to your numbers. So in the summer retreat too, according to the, your registration number, we will have the sign up to, for the range of numbers to come forward or to come to a certain place so you can receive the answer. So I hope you will receive the answers and be able to give your testimonies to before God. So if you have fleshly faith, you can make up your mind to change yourself now. You can realize what you lacked and you can change it so that you can please God. Just by making up your mind, Father will be pleased. So this message about spiritual faith and fleshly faith, Senior Pastor explained to us many times. It is very important. So this is the most basic about faith. So probably most of you are well aware of this subject. And let us check anyway if you had any fleshly faith, and let us think about what you have to do to change your fleshly faith into spiritual faith. Faith can be categorized into two things, fleshly faith and spiritual faith. It is only spiritual faith with which you can receive answer from God. With fleshly faith, you can't receive the answer. We say fleshly faith, but in God's sight, it is not even faith. We say fleshly faith so you can understand and get an understanding about it. So let me explain the characteristics of it. The three things. The first is, it is a faith as knowledge. You believe only what you can check with your own eyes, what agrees with your knowledge. For example, suppose this podium is made with crystal. These poles, these pillars are crystal. And the rest is some special kind of glass. But anyway, so if it is made, you say, if somebody says it's made of crystal, you know it is crystal. So there is no doubt about it. It agrees with your knowledge, with the education you received. So you can believe it. So you believe only when something agrees with your knowledge and theory. This is faith as knowledge and fleshly faith. However, there are so many untruthful things among the theories and knowledge of this world. Common sense and common knowledge in the world. You are taught in the world. You created this common sense from based on the knowledge of the world. And this knowledge that you input, it is from the world. You know, most of the knowledge in the world, they change over time. And also, there are so many things that are against the truth of God. If something is to be truth, it must never change. But so many things in the world, they change over time. They used to say this and that, but over time, the theories change. Also, the philosophy changes. The logic changes. the value changes in the world. So if you have the value of the world, it is not right in the sight of God. Only the Word of God is the absolute truth. But some people say they believe in God, but they don't really believe the whole Bible as it is. They just believe the piece of the Bible, parts of the Bible that agree with their thoughts. Because so many things go against the common sense of the world. Suppose Mara's bitter water changed into sweet water, quail fell from heaven, fell from the sky, the Red Sea was parted, Jesus healed so many sick people, and even brought the dead back to life. But those who have fleshly faith, knowledge, faith is knowledge, they can't really believe these records in the Bible. All those who are in the, most of Mami members, we believe all parts of the Bible as it is, especially those young people who were raised in this church. We don't add anything to the Bible, so they just believe the Bible. But those who came from other churches or some people, they mix some of the worldly theories. You know, we believe Jesus walked on water. But some people, some scholars, they say he walked on some shallow parts, and they beautified it and exaggerated it, and they said Jesus walked on water, or maybe there was a tide and ebb, the low and high tides of water, and he walked on the shallow part, and you know, they say, you know, they interpret the Bible with their own thoughts, according to the worldly theories. Maybe they just say it's only myth. But for us, it's rather strange to hear about such things. We just believe Jesus really walked on water. But we get surprised if other people say, you know, such things with the worldly theories, secular theories. You know, they add their own thoughts. Then when we hear those theories, we get surprised in Manmin Church. And they explain with human thoughts. And if they hear those explanations, they can't really believe the Bible. So what happens in their lives? How can they ask for God's power? Ask to see God's power. There are so many things that are impossible by human power. But God can make everything possible. But how can they pray to God? You know, what is impossible by men, they just remain impossible for them because they don't believe the Bible. But those who really believe the works in the Bible, even though some things are impossible in the world, by God's power, everything is possible. They believe it, really believe it. Even if it doesn't happen today, if God is at work, it'll change overnight by tomorrow. So the pastors are supposed to teach their believers in this way so that they can really believe in the Almighty God. And for them to believe, to make them believe, you have to show actual signs and wonders. Of course, pastors teach that Bible is true, but they don't show any works that are recorded in the Bible. So it's very difficult for the believers to believe the Bible as it is. When Jesus was born, the three Magi, they saw the moving star. They followed the star that was moving. And before we saw the moving stars, of course we believed it. But we didn't really feel that it was possible. We didn't really understand how amazing that thing was. We couldn't imagine what an amazing thing it was. But we actually see the moving stars in this church by the work of God. So we understand, oh, that's how the three Magi followed the moving star. How amazing is this? So they were, the three Magi, they were following this moving star. They were moved by the Holy Spirit, those who had good heart. they follow the work of God. So when we see all these things, we can understand. When we see the swarms of dragonflies, we can understand the locusts in the 10 plagues. So we can understand everything in the Bible is absolutely true. These swarms of dragonflies, how can it happen? The Christians who don't experience the work of God, if we explain to them about these dragonflies, then we explain to them that God sends these swarms of dragonflies so we don't have any flies or mosquitoes, any harmful insects, so we have a very pleasant summer retreat. And these dragonflies, they have some rough hair, and it's a little bit rough. So when the dragonfly was sitting on a little baby, it folded its legs so that it didn't hurt the baby, the soft skin of the baby. How can we explain all these things? Not just the dragonflies, but the Christians today, they have never experienced any miracle. They've never experienced any signs and wonders. Only after experiencing these things, they can really believe that everything in the Bible is true. But you do believe everything in the Bible is true. You experience them yourselves, and also there are some, you have heard so many things, you've seen so many other people, so many mommy members experience these signs and wonders. So the things in the Bible, they don't just live in the Bible. They are actually taking place. Senior pastor doesn't only teach everything in the Bible is true. But also he actually shows these works in real life. So we can really believe in the Almighty God and the Bible. So we can, with faith, we can challenge, maybe we can try to actually receive the answer in our actual lives. And when we do receive the answers, our faith increases exponentially. So much. So the growth of faith cannot be done by our own strength. It is given by God, and we are guided and led by our shepherd. So our faith in God increased very easily by the measure of faith, a measure of justice filled up by our shepherd. So this way we think about how grateful we are to our shepherd. But so many Christians, they don't experience anything. Also those hired hands, the hirelings, they change what is written in the Bible with, they mix it with secular theories and secular knowledge. But true faith, regardless of our knowledge or education, we just absolutely believe the word of God as it is. That's how our senior pastor has been believing in God ever since he was a new believer, because he had been in sickbed for 7 years. Nobody could heal him. Nobody could cure him. And God healed him at once when he came to a church and knelt before God. So because God healed him in such a miraculous way, he believed everything in the Bible is true. And ever since he received the calling to be a pastor, he believed all the signs and wonders that were manifested through prophets and fathers of faith. And he prayed about them. Because now he was a pastor. Elijah bringing down fire from heaven, Moses manifesting so many signs and wonders of God, so many miracles, parting the Red Sea. And he prayed about all these things, one by each of these things. So even before the opening of the church, he began to pray for these things so that he could manifest these works. All his prayers were stored up, and now he's manifesting these many signs and wonders. All these works of faith, they were the results, the outcome of the faithful prayers of the shepherd. So that is why we believe the Bible as it is. Everything in the Bible is the work of God. God makes even impossible possible. If you can, everything is possible for him who believes. So we know and we believe that we can receive any kind of answer if we have faith and ask. But let us consider this. If you really believe all the works that are in the Bible, 100%, and if your faith is really acknowledged by God, and all those things will have to take place in your actual lives. Parting the Red Sea. Of course, you don't go to any sea and part the Red Sea. Of course, this is not even faith. Just because you believe in the work of God, you don't just go there at random and, you know, presumptuously, you don't ask for God's miracles. In your difficulties and hardships, if you have faith and pray, those problems will have to go away. So that you can really say you believe in God. And God will recognize and acknowledge your faith. We say we believe in God, but actually we don't experience such works all the time. That's because our faith is not really complete. It's because we don't have proper faith. But we do have spiritual faith. But it has to be in bigger measure, greater measure. That's why sometimes you don't receive the answer. So those who have not filled up the measure enough, they have to look back what they have to do to increase their faith. Or some people, they don't believe in God at all. They still have doubts in God himself. So they just rely on the world. It means they have only fleshly faith. So now they have to change this fleshly faith into spiritual faith. If you really believe in God and the works of the Bible, then when you have troubles or problems, you don't have to rely on the worldly methods or on other people. But if you still rely on other people, if you have worries and concerns, then it means you don't really have true faith. You say you believe in God and you pray a couple of times, but if you don't receive the answer, you go back to the world. You rely on the worldly methods. You use human methods. So this is fleshly faith, faith as knowledge. Let us check ourselves. We've seen and experienced so many works of God's power. We were happy, and we said we had to trust in the shepherd. Actually, all the things you saw, it was out of the faith of the shepherd. It wasn't really your own faith. That's what we have to check. So many things were manifested through the faith of a shepherd. And if we really believed them and also cultivated our own faith in times of tests and trials, we will be able to give the proper answer. Then the Father will acknowledge it as our faith. We can see this from the example of the sons of Israel who came out of Egypt. They saw so many things by the faith of Moses. But when God was testing them, when there was no water, when they were having a hard time, they were showing their own faith. So when they were seeing the things that were manifested through the faith of Moses, they were happy together, they were giving glory to God. But when they had their own tests, they couldn't show their faith. They were complaining, resenting God. They were resenting Moses. They stood against Moses. They were saying they trusted Moses, but they obeyed Moses. But it was actually not true. So we can, our real faith will be revealed in times of trouble. So the first characteristics of a fleshly faith is it is only faith as knowledge. You depend on your knowledge. The second characteristics of fleshly faith is it changes. Suppose you have a desire, you have a wish, and you pray to God, and it's not given. Then what do you think? What kind of thoughts do you have? Some people, they doubt the existence of God. Some people, if others say they receive the answers from God, you think it's coincidence. They actually receive the answer with their faith, but because you don't have faith, you just think they received it, received the answer by coincidence. But if you change in this way, it is not true faith. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, all things for which you have prayed and asked, believe that you have received them. You have received them, not you will receive. All things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them. In the reality, you didn't. You're praying, oh Father, I believe you will give me the answer. Then you have to really believe, even though nothing is happening in the real world. So if you do have spiritual faith, you give thanks and you are happy because you know you have believed it, this, even though nothing is happening. Then you will actually receive the answer. Fleshly faith, even though there is nothing happening, if there is nothing happening, then you think it's not working. This is changing. So maybe it sounds strange. I don't know if God is asking of us something hard. Even though it's not happening, you know it's, you believe it's happening. But if you, that is the characteristics of faith. That is why you can give thanks. That is why you can please God. The senior pastor doesn't worry, it's not sad. Of course, he has mourning for the souls about the disgracing God. He has some concerns if there is any disgrace in God. But his heart is that. He believes that the power of recreation will be fully manifested through this process. And he couldn't think about these specifics because God doesn't let us know all the details of the tests. So when we actually face the test, we overcome with faith, believing that something greater will take place, some greater blessings will be given, some greater power will be given. And he is imagining the power of God that will be manifested even more greatly. And you who believe this, you pray with thanksgiving and joy so you can overwhelmingly overcome. So if you believe and pray that you have believed, you have received them, then they will be granted you. James chapter 1 verses 6 to 7 says, but he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. So those who doubt and change their minds, it means you don't have the faith to receive answer from God. Once you believe God until the end in any situation. Your faith never changes. When you receive the answer, you say, oh, I love you, God. I'm happy. But when you face difficulties, hardships, you resent God. Where is God? You doubt. This is changing. God cannot say they have true faith. Maybe when you have very little faith in the beginning, when you are a new believer. But after seeing so many signs and wonders, then when you face some tests and trials, you know that God is watching you and you can think that, oh, I should believe in God and not change my mind. But if you still have fleshly faith, you might have worries and concerns. So what do you have to do? You have to repent of having worries and concerns, saying, oh, Father, I've seen so many signs and wonders, but when I face my own problems, I have worries and concerns. This is fleshly faith, and Father, please forgive me of my little faith, and Father, let me not have any more worries and concerns, and give me spiritual faith. So this way you pray and try to drive away worries and concerns. and you think about the future. What kinds of blessings will be given? So the worries and concerns will go away. You know, when you have these things, you try to have joy and thanksgiving. So all these, this fleshly faith will be changed into spiritual faith. You still have flesh, so from time to time, moment by moment, you have worries and concerns. Then you can try to change these worries and concerns into faith. That is how you can increase your faith. That is how you can change fleshly faith into spiritual faith. You know you have worries and concerns. So this is a fleshly faith. So you acknowledge it and you try to change it into spiritual faith. The third characteristics of fleshly faith, it is not accompanied by deeds. James 2:17 says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Faith without works is dead. Knowing the word of God is not believing in God. You mistakenly think your knowledge in the word of God is your faith, but that's not true. If you really believe the word of God, you will obey the word of God. Definitely. You don't obey the word of God because you don't really believe it. The Bible says, if you humble yourself, God will lift you up. If you serve others, and if you humble yourself, you'll be the great in heaven, God will serve you. So what do you have to do? You have to humble yourself. You have to serve others. If somebody says anything to you, you don't fight back, but you just humble yourself. So because you believe the word of God, you humble yourself again and again. But you say you believe in the word of God, but you try to lift up yourself. So it means you don't believe the word of God. It looks like somebody is ignoring you, looking down on you. So you feel bad. Your feelings are hurt. And so you act in a unfavorable way. It means you don't believe the word of God. So if you actually believe the word of God, what do you have to do? Even if others look down on you, and if you have some hard feelings, then you repent of hard feelings and you try to get rid of the desire to be lifted up. And no longer you feel bad about other people looking down on you or showing despise on you. So then God will lift you up. Actually, so if you really believe the word of God, you will obey it. So to have spiritual faith, of course, you have to have the knowledge of the word of God. So that you can actually keep the words of God and you can increase your faith. So senior pastor talked about the importance of the deed. And faith without works is dead. And he always gives this allegory. Suppose you are so thirsty. And there is a glass of water. And what do you have to do? What will you do? You will drink the water, right? Won't you? Because you know if you drink water and you believe by drinking water, your thirst will go away. If you don't think the water will quench your thirst, you're not going to drink it. But if you believe, absolutely you believe, the water will quench your thirst. So you will actually drink it when you're thirsty. That faith is based on your experience. But actually you know and believe. When you're hungry, you eat. That is faith. You have faith in that. Faith in the fact that if you eat, your hunger will go away. So it's the same. If you really believe the word of God, you will do it. God says you have to give your tithes. Not giving tithes is robbing God. On the contrary, God says if you give tithes, he will give you blessings. So if you believe the word of God, you will definitely give tithes. So because you believe these words of God, so you don't just give one-tenth, but even two-tenths. So sometimes those who don't believe, sometimes they don't give full tithe, or they skip once a month. It means they don't believe God. They don't believe in God who made this promise to give you blessings. So that's why you feel wasteful. You spare, and also you calculate things. But if you really believe, you don't even have to calculate. That's what the senior pastor did since he was a new believer. He was in such a difficult financial situation, but he read about this tithe. If you give tithe, God will bless you so much more. So he held on to the word of God and he took out the tithe first. He saved the tithe first and then he gave tithe to God and he actually receiving blessings. So then he could continue to do it two times, three times, and it became life. It's easy to keep the word of God. So how much of the word of God do you actually put into practice? So through this, you can check what kind of faith you have. So fleshly faith is not accompanied by deeds. So God doesn't say, those who have fleshly faith, as they have faith. So only with the fleshly faith you can't receive the answers. So what kind of faith will be acknowledged by God? So we have to have a spiritual faith that is opposite of fleshly faith. All these characteristics are exactly the opposite. First, spiritual faith, you believe all the words of God even if they don't agree with your thoughts or knowledge. We can see this from the example of Abraham. God gave Isaac at the age of 100 as a seed of promise. And one day, God told him to give this Isaac as a burnt offering. In other words, kill him and burn him. God already promised Abraham that his descendants would be so many through Isaac. And now, God was telling him to kill him. So Abraham, if he had little faith, then he could have had his own thoughts. How come God is changing his words now? How come he's not keeping his promise now? So he wouldn't have been able to obey the word of God. Probably he could have been reluctant. He could have hesitated, but he didn't show that kind of action at all. Hebrews 11:17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. And verse 19, he considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. He had such great faith that even if he gave Isaac, he believed God could bring him back from the dead. How wonderful is his faith! So Abraham actually thought God could accept the aroma of Isaac, his burnt offering, and he could bring him back from the dead. So Abraham didn't offer him as a burnt offering. So God saw everything and he stopped him just before actually offering him up. So in case of our shepherd, he passed all these tests and he's manifesting such tremendous, powerful works of God. All his three daughters, all of us, we were actually dead by carbon monoxide gas poisoning. And he didn't resent God. He just gave thanks to God and there was another young man and he just prayed for him. And other than that, also, all three of us three daughters, I had concussion, severe concussion. Pastor Mi Kyung Lee was hit by a truck, and Pastor Mi Kyung Lee, she had skin trouble. He never resented God in any of those situations. He only showed pleasing faith in the sight of God, and so according to his faith, God gave him the solutions, healings. And that kind of faith is still showing the works of God even today for you. So spiritual faith is not to look at the reality, to compromise with the reality, but it is to completely believe in the Almighty God. You don't utilize any of the fleshly thoughts or human thoughts, but you just completely believe in God and please God. So this is true faith, spiritual faith. So the characteristics of spiritual faith is same as the ways to get spiritual faith. So now, if you do the things that please God, which is not look at the reality, but consider the works of God that will be shown, that will come. That by the help of God, by the work of God, the reality means nothing. It's a piece of cake. So because you know it'll happen, so you give thanks and you pray and you rejoice. And God will accept your joy and thanksgiving, and He will give you the spiritual faith. And once the spiritual faith is given, the reality actually changes, so your faith increases. So if you want to increase your faith, then you can practice the Word of God. Even if the reality doesn't seem so, you can just believe God, you can obey the Word of God, and you can please God. Find some things. Find the things that can please God. So do them. Practice them. So that God can give you the spiritual faith, and the problems are solved, and your faith actually increases. This is how it works. So please remember this principle. The characteristics of the spiritual faith, they are the ways to please God. They are the ways to have spiritual faith. So follow them. Compromising with the world, compromising with the reality, complying with the things of the reality, that is not spiritual faith. So the second characteristics of spiritual faith is that it doesn't change. Once you believe something, you never doubt. You believe until the end. Some people, they just give up midway. They begin with faith, but then give up midway. That is not spiritual faith. Your faith must not be shaken in any situation. If you really believe the Word of God 100%, then you believed it until the end, even though some things seem that they are not going right midway. So please check your faith. You're saying you pray to God, you're praying to receive the answer. But when things are not going the way you wished, way you thought, then you might have some other thoughts, then it means you don't have spiritual faith. So we have to cast away all kinds of fleshly thoughts, all these doubts. Third, spiritual faith is accompanied by the deeds to obey the Word of God. James 2:22 says, "You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected." 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." If you believe in God and love the Lord, of course, you will obey the words of God, even between people. If you love somebody, you will do what is pleasing to that person, pleasing that person. So if you really love God from the heart, we will definitely keep His commandments, and it is not burdensome. We won't feel it burdensome. But some people, they seem to be obeying the Word of God, but they obey some of the commandments and they don't obey the others. It means they don't have good enough faith, great enough faith, so they can't receive the answers completely. Do you want to increase your faith? Do you want to have great faith? Live by the Word of God. God says, do, don't do, cast away, and don't do. So follow those things, then spiritual faith will be given. Somebody hates you, somebody gives you a hard time, so you hate that person back. It means faith will not be given to that extent. That is related with your faith. Of course, hatred is directly related with your faith. Depending on how much you sanctify yourself, the measure of faith is given from level 1 to level 4. So there is a difference between first level and fifth level. Depending on how much you practice the word of God, you hate that person. To that same extent, you have little faith. You hate that person and say, God, please answer to me. You can't receive the answer. God says, don't hate. Do not hate. You have to love that person. To the extent you love that person, spiritual faith will be given. It's not only about love and hate. It applies to every kind of thing. Humble yourself, as I mentioned. You believe God, so you humble yourself. You think like, oh, am I a fool? He's always despising me. He's making fun of me, making a fool of me. You hate that person. You think you hate that person, but you are doing it in front of God. That is why he can't give you spiritual faith. But if you love, and that is faith. If you love that person, that is spiritual faith. When somebody gives you a hard time, you give thanks and you rejoice and you try to serve that person even more, you humble yourself more. Then, all those tests and trials, when tests and trials are allowed, your faith increases. You might think driving away tests and trials is good. You want to drive away tests and trials as soon as they are given because you have great faith. But that's not how it works. Through the tests and trials, you can increase your faith by showing the deeds of faith, by practicing the word of God in tests and trials. Those who don't live by the word of God, even if they pray, they don't receive the answer. They fast and they offer vowed prayers, but they don't receive the answer when the problem is so big. Just by praying, you don't receive the answer. You have to cast away evil and you have to cultivate goodness in you and live by the word of God and pray. Then it is easy, much easier for you to receive the answer. So living by the word of God is the standard to check whether you can have spiritual faith or not. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, how much of this passage do you practice? You know, every Christian, they know this. How much do you practice? Do you rejoice always or not? Do you still rejoice when there are tests and trials? It says, pray without ceasing. And some believers, they don't pray. And it's not just you don't rejoice and you don't pray. That's not it. Because you don't rejoice and you don't pray, spiritual faith is not given. But in everything you rejoice and pray and you in everything you give thanks, then your problems are resolved. So you have to practice the word of God so that you can have spiritual faith. So you have to check something to check if you have spiritual faith. You believe creation out of nothing. You believe all 66 books of the Bible. And you might think you have spiritual faith. But knowing it and believing it are two completely different things. You think you believe, but actually it is only knowledge. That is in most cases, that's actually true. So knowing it and believing in heart, how are they different? In tests and trials, in troubles, your actions will be completely different. In peace, everybody seems to have faith. When you are happy, when things are good, everybody is happy. But when things are hard, that's when you actually show your faith. That's when you actually show your trust. Suppose you are you got involved in a traffic accident, or when you have a disease. Those who have fleshly faith and those who have spiritual faith, they will have different actions. Some people, they saw a lot of things in this church, a lot of signs and wonders. So at first they rely on God. But if they don't experience the work of God themselves, they go to relying on the world, which means they don't really believe. They don't really have faith. So faith as knowledge cannot please God. It is not accompanied by the deeds that please God. So you have to check your actions, whether your actions actually please God or not. You have to check that all the time. Then you can see whether you really have faith or not. Are your deeds pleasing God or not? Then you can foresee whether you can receive the answer or not. With faith, you can So you have to check your faith all the time, through your deeds. So spiritual faith is dead faith because it is not accompanied by deeds. Without faith, without works, without deeds, you cannot please God. So you shouldn't just believe in the head, but from the heart, so that your actions will be accompanied. Depending on what kinds of deeds you have, the kinds of deeds you have, it is a standard to judge whether you have spiritual faith or not. Another thing we have to think about spiritual faith is some people backslide from spiritual faith to fleshly faith. Of course, a senior pastor says he doesn't understand it. Once you believe, you can believe forever. And how come faith goes away? Of course, it's true. If it is really spiritual faith, it never changes. But people, they have so much of a changing mind. And because their faith is not completely spiritual faith, they sometimes go back to fleshly faith. So why does it happen? Of course, it mustn't happen to us. After having spiritual faith, it mustn't go back to fleshly faith. So when you practice the word of God, you believe it. You have the faith. But now you don't practice the word of God any longer. You commit sins and you befriend the world. Then you have doubts and you lose your faith. That happens a lot among us too. And they stop praying. They don't live by the word of God any longer. They stopped circumcising their heart. Now they go back to taking the things of the world. Then the faith they used to have goes away. I'm not saying this to evaluate other people, but I'm saying this just to check yourselves. When you practice the word of God, you have great faith. But when you don't, you lose faith. You stop praying. You don't obey the word of God. You feel it's hard to live by the word of God. So your faith that you used to have, now you don't have it any longer. When you are healed of some diseases, or when you receive the answer to some problems, you are happy and you are faithful, and your faith increases. God hates changing mind of people. But when we are faithful, for the moment, when we are trying to change ourselves, God acknowledges it for the moment, even though He knows that we will change later. God acknowledges our work for the moment. We cut off the world. We are trying to circumcise our heart. Then God gives us the faith. even the measure of faith in numerical figures. But if he changes his mind, he loses his faith. So even among the 12 disciples, we have Judas Iscariot. He saw the power of Jesus. He was happy. He followed him for a moment, but he didn't circumcise his heart, and eventually he betrayed Jesus. So, when we actually do something good, God says, "We've well done." And he gives us faith. But if he forsakes his faith, he changes his mind, then means he changed his mind. So his faith is gone. Completely. So these things happen. But if you really, truly have true faith, it doesn't change. But until we have true faith, so we have to keep on checking ourselves again and again, continually, all the time. Some people, they cool down in their religious life. Or when they receive the answer, sometimes they become slowly arrogant and they stop circumcising their heart. So then later they begin to take the things again, the things of the world again that they used to quit. So they find pleasure in doing the things of the world. So if you change your mind and practice untruths, then your used to be good faith goes away. Your fleshly, your spiritual faith changes into fleshly faith. You don't have hope of heaven any longer. So, it's the same principle that you increase your faith and it comes down. If you live by the word of God, your faith increases. But if you take the world and if you don't live by the word of God, if you don't obey the word of God any longer, then it means your faith goes away. So 1 Corinthians 10:20 says, "But to think so as to have sound judgments as God, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall." So you cannot be arrogant about your faith. Never. You just have to check whether you're arrogant or not, whether or not you hate somebody, whether or not you are really practicing the word of God. "Oh, I used to have good faith. I used to live by the word of God." And you don't any longer? That it means you don't have any faith. You don't have faith as great as you used to. Dear brothers and sisters, which one do you want to have? Fleshly faith or spiritual faith? Of course, you'd want to have spiritual faith that is acknowledged by God. But spiritual faith cannot just be possessed as you wish. It has to be given by God. Romans 12:3 says, "But to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." So, when does God give us spiritual faith? What is a principle for him in giving us the spiritual faith? There is law and principle in everything. So, what do you have to do? Spiritual faith is given to the extent that we practice the word of God. We have to cast away hatred, envy, adultery, all these hearts, and we have to be able to love even our enemies. Then, to the extent that we practice the word of God, spiritual faith is given from above. Those who have spiritual faith, they believe the word of God, everything, every word of God, and they can say yes and amen to all the words of God, even though they don't agree with their thoughts. They can obey the words of God all the time. You say you believe the life to come, you believe the power of the shepherd, and yet you're not healed, you don't receive the answers yet. Then it means you are not really practicing the word of God. So you have to realize what you're not keeping. The word of God, the part of the words of God that you don't keep, and keep the words of God. Then spiritual faith will be given. Most of you have spiritual faith. You don't doubt God. You don't doubt the power of the shepherd. It is spiritual faith. But there is the measure of faith to be able to receive the answer. So there is this shortage of the deeds of faith. God says you have to love that person, but that person, him, her, I can't. Then it means spiritual faith is not given to that same extent. So for the remainder of this day today, I hope you will realize your shortcomings and fill it up so you can receive the answer tomorrow. I hope you, all of you will receive the answers in the summer retreat. The spiritual faith is given to the extent that you practice the word of God. So you have to realize what kinds of words of God you are not keeping. So repent of them. Let me conclude the message. The Bible tells us of the secrets to receive the blessings or how we will face curses in detail. So, if we just believe them and practice them and obey them, we will definitely receive the blessings. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Therefore, those who have deeds of faith, they will be able to receive the blessings and answers to problems. Through our shepherd, we saw that the faith can actually bring down the answers. And we will also see how God will bless our shepherd. But now, we also should be able to receive the blessings ourselves. We should have faith with which you don't doubt God at all in any situation. We should lead a life of obeying the words of God in all situations. We have to practice the word of God, the truth, all the time, so that we can also have the great faith that senior pastor has, and we can also become spiritual warriors at this end time. And God will not only give them blessings on this earth, but also great heavenly rewards in heavenly kingdom. Let us all possess spiritual faith that pleases God and receive answers. Let us pray together, thinking about the message.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.